If you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 4. We are going to talk about faith for the next weeks. I have no idea how many weeks we'll see, but I need a booster shot of faith, I guess. In this world, we are so busy and there's so much changing in this world. We are literally in one of the greatest periods of history that mankind has ever known. Right? It's true. We are. There's more change happening in the last couple years than at any time in human history, except for Jesus coming, right? But it's also a great opportunity to become very distracted. So we're going to hammer on some healing. We're going to talk about faith for finances, faith in every area that it applies. It applies to all of life, but I just need to lay this foundation. I need to just say this first so that we're all on the same page, so that we all understand, and hopefully, you know, we're going to get convicted of something and get some repentance so we can come to the truth. So if you get convicted today, don't worry, I went first, all right? Mark chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 1, and I do have some scriptures on the screen, I think. I'm actually going to start in verse 3, Mark 4, 3, and this is the parable of the seed or the sower or the soils, however you want to title it, and we know it very well. But what's the first word Jesus says? Listen. That's kind of important. So listen, everybody, listen, listen. Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. When the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. When I got saved in my Baptist church, there is a version of this that talks about the word of the kingdom. And they used to teach this like, yeah, this is the gospel. And the people that receive the gospel, they bear fruit. And there's other people, they won't receive the gospel. The devil takes it from them, and here's the reasons why. But that's not what this parable is talking about. That is an application, but is the word, is the seed here the gospel? It can be, but what is it? What did Jesus say the seed is? The word. Which word? All the words of God. All the words of God, including the gospel, but all the words of God. So this parable is actually about four different fates of the same seed. Four different fates of the same seed. It's about four different responses to the same seed and the fruit or lack thereof that those different responses elicit. The next verse, we'll skip down to 13. Jesus said to him, do you not understand this parable? Because a disciple said, we don't get it, Jesus. And he said, if you don't understand this one, you're not going to understand any of them. Which means that the lesson from this parable actually unlocks every other parable that Jesus said. So this is a very important principle that we need to make sure that we understand. This parable outlines a spiritual truth. God can give two people the exact same thing, and one will bear fruit, sometimes much fruit, and another will bear little or no fruit. This parable explains why. It explains why. Matthew puts this parable in a series of fruitfulness messages, and he puts it in the context of sinners experiencing kingdom fruit and the Pharisees not. So Matthew's explaining, this is what's going on. People that know the Bible, people that know the Word of God, people that pray, people that actually are trying to please God, and they're not bearing kingdom fruit. And then there's some sinners. And they are experiencing the kingdom, and they are changing and experiencing this fruit, and it doesn't seem like it should work that way. But Matthew sticks it in this context to explain this is what is going on. And Jesus is explaining this is what is going on. So there's a danger for us, right? We're probably more like the Pharisees than the sinners. We're trying to please God. There's a danger for us in the familiarity of, I've heard that before. Oh, I know that. There's a danger for us to not get fruit from the word any longer. That's what was happening to the Pharisees. Scary stuff. Verse 14, the sower sows the word. Say the word. The sower sows the word. So here's the first soil. These are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. Say Satan. Yay, we get to blame him for something. Should probably say it in the church lady voice. And for all the young people that don't know the church lady, YouTube it. Satan. Right? Satan. Satan wants to steal our peace, right? Satan wants to steal our joy. He wants to steal our hope. So is that what he does? He just comes and snatches away our joy, snatches away our hope? No, he steals the word. It's the word that produces hope. It's the word that produces joy. It's truth. It's God's truth. It's his fruit that produces the good things in our life. So Satan doesn't come to steal your peace and your joy. He wants that gone, but he does that by stealing the word. Stealing the word. Say, stealing the word. It's important. So what's the result when Satan steals the word? There's no fruit. None. Why isn't there fruit? Because now there's no seed. The seed makes the fruit. The seed makes the fruit. He wants to steal the seed. Another interesting thing about this parable, every single one of the soils mentioned, the four soils, Jesus said, and they heard. These are the ones that heard. Every single one of those soils heard. Just like you're hearing this morning. All four of them heard. Which means what? God isn't stingy. He gives us all the same opportunity. He gives us the same word. Well, why is there such vastly different fruit in some of our lives? Well, some of it might be Satan. But Jesus is explaining there's some other things going on here. So the sower didn't give your neighbor better seed than you. Turn to your neighbor and ask if their Bible has better blessings than yours. Does your Bible have better blessings than yours? No? Does their Bible have more promises than your Bible? No. Hold up your Bible if you have them. If you have your phone, I'll let you get away with it. See, my Bible has good seeds. That phone has good and bad seeds, right? But we all have the same seed available to us, right? He gave us all the same seed. We all have the same seed. So the problem is the soil. What's the difference? It's the soil. It's the soil. We let the devil take the seed from our heart sometimes. What does kingdom fruit in our soul look like? Peace, love, joy, patience. What does kingdom fruit in our body look like? Health, healing, resurrection, rest, right? What does kingdom fruit in our finances look like? Debt-free, prosperity, peace, right? Peace. Notice that the sower, this is so important. We read these words, at least for me. I'll speak in first person. I read these words, and my brain just kind of turns it around or switches it, or I don't know. The sower gave seed. He did not give fruit. The sower gave seed. He did not give fruit. The fruit came from the seed in the good soil. Why is that important? What difference does that make? that the word is seed and not fruit. Jesus is trying to tell us this is how the kingdom works. This is how it works. God is not passing out fruit. He's not passing out patience. He's passing out his word. His word produces patience. His word produces perseverance. His word accomplishes. But he's not passing out fruit. The sower is not giving fruit. When it comes to physical healing, this is a big deal. Because if Jesus said the sower gives fruit, then we can all expect instantaneous healing. Because what did Jesus give? What did God give? He gave healing. Fruit. Instant fruit. We should have instant everything. Instant change in our finances. Instant change in our relationships. Instant change in all these things. But he didn't give the fruit. What did he give? Seed. What is necessary for a seed to bear fruit? Time, sometimes. Time, right? It takes some time. Now we see lots of instantaneous healings. Because deliverance can be instantaneous. Healing can be instantaneous. But you know that Jesus prayed for people that didn't receive an instantaneous healing? They got healed, but it wasn't instantaneous. He prayed for a blind guy. He had to pray twice. He prayed for a leper and says, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And sometime as the man was going, we don't know if that's 30 minutes later, we don't know if that's 4 hours later or 2 days later, but later the guy got healed. I read this parable and I think, oh, fruit, 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 fruit. But God didn't pass out fruit. He passed out his word, seed. And I have to steward that seed in order for it to produce fruit in my life. It's a big, big difference. It's a big, big difference. There's responsibility on our part. We all want instantaneous and we all want easy. We have to do something with seed, right? The sower didn't sow fruit. He sowed seed, right? He sowed seed. So what does that say about how the word works? That's different than fruit. The seed holds its own power, right? Every seed holds its own power. I wish that I had more time or had bought a bunch of seeds to literally hand out a seed to everybody. So you could just hold a seed in your hand. If I each gave you one seed, how many seeds would you have? One. But let's say it's an apple seed. One seed, but how many apples are in your hand? Well, not one, but potential hundreds, thousands, millions, maybe, in that one seed. So there's one seed, but there are hundreds or thousands or millions of trees in that seed. Do we think of the word that way? I don't necessarily. We take a promise of God and we want the fruit. I want instant fruit. But it's a seed, and it has potential, 30, 60, 100-fold, massive, massive potential in every promise of God, in every word that he's spoken. But often we just read the Bible, and we don't see the potential. At least I don't always. I don't always look and say, wow, that is powerful. That is earth-changing. Generation changing. We don't value it that way. Often we are like the Pharisees. I know that. I've heard that before. I know that scripture. I memorized that when I was a kid. We take the seed and go, it's so small. It's so small. It's not that big of a deal. It's just a small thing if I lose it. It's just a small thing if I let it fall to the ground. It's just a small thing if I let it go. Well, yeah, it's a small thing now. But all that potential, all that power, we gave up. We gave away. Convicted yet? I went first. I went first. You can count the seeds in an apple, but... Does anyone know how that saying goes? You can count the seeds in an apple, but you can't count the apples in a seed. You can count the seeds that are in an apple, but you cannot count the apples in a seed. God gives us seed. His word is seed. So what's the first reason Jesus gives for a lack of fruit? What's the first reason? We just said it. Satan, right? The devil takes the word which takes the fruit. The devil takes the word which takes the fruit. The devil can't take our peace. He challenges the word that produces peace. He can't take our joy. It's not like we're on a date with our spouse and we're walking down the street or walking into the restaurant and all of a sudden we go, my joy. Someone took my joy. Like the devil's a pickpocket and he just came and stole the joy. Or he just came and stole our peace. It doesn't happen that way. Now a spirit can jump on us and all of a sudden we can not be experiencing peace or joy. But we can get those off, but that's not what the devil does. Circumstances happen. Challenges happen. We get distracted. You know, things go on. And that truth that we held in our heart as priority, as utmost, kind of goes down a notch or two. And the world's problems and hardships and trials and failures add up. And they get bigger than the word of God in our heart. And it chokes out the word. The devil steals the seed, which steals our fruit. The devil is after the word in our hearts. What weapon did Jesus use against the devil in the wilderness? The word of God. And crazy enough, like one chapter, one little section from the word of God. Just this little section in Deuteronomy. He just said, that's good enough to kick your butt. I don't even need them all. I don't even need all these books. I'll take a page. Boom, take that. Boom, take that. Boom, take that. The devil had to flee. Right? That's all it took. Jesus believes that his Father's words are enough to defeat the devil. He believes it. We should too. He used the word of God as a weapon. Second soil. These are the ones, verse 16, these are the ones sown on rocky ground. The one who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves but endure for a while. Then when tribulation, say tribulation, or persecution arises on account of the word. On account of the word. This isn't just, well, my dad's being a jerk to me or my brother's being a jerk. No, this is persecution because you believed the word. How many people in here, maybe your finances, you've had a season of terrible finances, and you just get determined one day, man, I'm going to believe God for prosperity. And then the next thing that happens, your transmission breaks, or something happens like immediately to challenge that word. Or someone gives you a prophetic word about your destiny, and then literally the next day, something happens the exact opposite of what that person spoke. The world will challenge the word of God. The word will challenge the word of God. The world will say, oh yeah, you believe that, do you? We'll see how much you believe. We have to hold that seed in our heart. So the second root is really, or soil, is about character. It's about character. We declare healing. We believe it, then a doctor says, you got worse. You got worse. We get a report, right? Believe God for finances, bank account goes down. We put the seed in the ground. Often we come back the very next day. If there isn't a full-grown tree, we take the seed out, we say it didn't work. That happens all the time. At least I'm guilty sometimes of that. Right? The word gets challenged, and we say, it didn't work. I believed for 2 days or 2 weeks or, you know, a month, and it didn't work. Does God's word say that God's word doesn't work? No, God's word works. The problem's somewhere on our end. It's somewhere on our end. When Jesus cursed the fig tree, when did it wither? It's a trick question. Because Matthew says immediately, and one of the other, I can't remember Mark, or think it says it withered the next day they walked by, and it was withered to the root. Well, that word immediately can mean soon. It could have been like, man, we saw the thing starting to dry up immediately. And the next day we came back and it was like dead to the root. When did the word work for Jesus? It started working immediately, right? When did it fully manifest? The next day. But it started working immediately. Because that's how seeds work, right? Seeds take some time sometimes. Mark 11:20. This is the verse, but there's some really good stuff in this. As they passed by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. Peter remembered and said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed is withered. And Jesus answered them, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. Say, does not doubt. It turns out that's a big key to faith. That's a big key to faith. But does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass. Doesn't say, he doesn't go on to say, well, if you believe, if you don't have doubt, and if you believe that what you're saying will come to pass, it might be done for you. Doesn't say that. Doesn't say it probably will be done for you. No, doesn't say there's a chance for that guy. There's a chance for that girl. No, it doesn't say there's a chance. The next line in the verse says it will be done for him. It will be done for him. I'll read that again. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. There's some godly imagining that we have to have when it comes to faith. According to Jesus, we have to believe in our hearts. I have received this thing. That tense in the Greek means it is happening right now. It's currently happening. So that could be translated, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you are receiving it right now, and it will be done for you. You are receiving it, and in the future, whether it's 5 seconds later or 5 minutes later or 5 days later, it will be done for you. It will be done for you. Daniel fasted and prayed daily for 3 weeks. And God had the nerve to wait till the 11th hour on the 21st day. Right? God's like that sometimes. When did Daniel's prayer start working? Did it work? Okay. Very important question. Did it work on the 21st day or the first day? Why didn't he get it the first day? Why didn't he see the manifestation? Why didn't he see proof that it was working? Because the word is a seed and not fruit. Right? Part of the reason. But Gabriel comes and explains it to him. This is in Daniel 10, 12 to 13. Then Gabriel said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day, that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. I have come because of your words. That's amazing. It worked immediately. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And here I am. It took 21 days, but God heard you on day one. Immediately, the word worked. Immediately, I started coming as a response to what you said. That's amazing. Some of us, man, we'd pray day one, don't see any fruit. We pray day two, don't see any fruit. We pray day three. It's a week. It's 10 days. We're like, this isn't working. God's not listening to me. Nothing's happening. And then we quit. Say, forget it. I'll figure it out on my own. I'll go do something else. What would have happened? God would have said, well, he changed his mind. Gabriel, come back. We don't hold the seed in our heart. We don't hold the seed in our heart. Keep your seed in the ground and keep watering it. It will bear fruit. God's word does not return to him void. Isaiah 55, 10 to 11. We all know this well. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Say, it shall succeed. It shall succeed. God's word works. He didn't say these things for no reason. He didn't say them for them not to accomplish what he sent them to accomplish. But Jesus is explaining there's an issue. God's word works when it hits good soil, but when it doesn't, it's fruitless. Well, that responsibility on our part. But God's word works. It works. Here's the third soil. Others are the ones sown among thorns, verse 18. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world, say cares, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things. Say desires for other things. Does it say desires for sinful things? No. It says desires for other things. So cares, concerns, desires for things other than God's promise or God's word, they choke it out and they make it unfruitful. This soil is about distractions and wrong priorities. Distractions and wrong priorities. Worries, cares, concerns, fears, desires for other things choke the word and make it unfruitful. So far we looked at three soils, and the devil made me do it is only mentioned once. Right? The other two is our fault. The other two is character issue and perseverance, and the other one is I just let desires for other things and cares and concerns and everything else populate my mind, and it choked out the truth that was in my heart and made me unfruitful. So it's twice as much our fault as the devil's fault. According to Jesus, right? Twice as much our fault as the devil's fault. Here's the last one. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. All four soils heard the same word. They all heard. We're all hearing the same words today, and this is just the reality. This is going to bear more fruit in some people's hearts than others. And the difference actually isn't how much of the Bible you know. It may not even be how much you pray or how much you worship. It has to do, are we going to believe it? Are we going to receive it, and are we going to hold it, and are we going to value it above distractions, above persecution, above, well, I don't see it bearing fruit immediately, so I'm quitting? The Word of God works. The Word of God works. So what's the difference with all these soils? The difference is the soil, but the good soil bore fruit, right? Say, good soil. I always just kind of interpret that as, you know, having a good heart. I'm a good person. I have a good heart. I'm a good soil guy. Right? Are you a good soil gal? Yeah. I'm good soil guys and good soil gals. I have a nice heart, right? I have a good heart. I'm a nice person. I don't want to kill people all the time. But nice people can still let worries and distractions choke out the word. Doesn't even have to be a bunch of sin in your life. Just distractions, cares, concerns. Letting other things be more valuable, more important. You guard other things more than the word. Nice people can get a promise of God challenged and say, this isn't working. Nice people do that. I have. Nice people can still let worries and distractions choke out the word. I have. Abraham and Sarah did too. They're like, wow, this promise of a son thing isn't working out. Nothing's happening. Then they make it Ishmael. Most of us, probably all of us, have made Ishmaels. Why? Because we didn't keep holding the seed in our heart. We didn't stay in faith. They eventually figured out, yeah, that was a mistake. I think we better go back to trusting God. Well, that didn't work out so much. I'm going to show you a picture of a necklace that I bought Casey. That's a mountain. And that little round thing in there, so that's in like glass or plastic or something. But that little round thing in there is a mustard seed. A real, actual, live mustard seed. So if we broke that and stuck it in the ground, we could probably grow some mustard. That's the amazing thing is there's life and power in that thing that looks dead. And it can sit there for years and years and years until it gets put in the ground and it activates and starts growing and bearing fruit. And the reason, you guys know the scripture, Matthew 17:20. And this is Jesus cast out a demon that his disciples couldn't. And they're like, why couldn't we do it? And he said, it's because of your tiny faith. But then he says something weird. If you have teeny tiny faith, it'll still work. The faintness, that word is faintness, because of the faintness of your faith. Because of the faintness. If you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, it's tiny. They're little, like a sesame seed. You will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing, say nothing, will be impossible for you. A mustard seed of faith. All you need is a tiny, teeny, itty-bitty bit. Jesus talked about leaven, yeast. Have you ever seen a single piece of yeast? It's so small you can't even see it. Like you got a bunch of it together, you can see it, but just try and get one little tiny piece of yeast. Like, it's crazy small. So Jesus is saying it's not the size of your faith that's the problem. You don't need bigger faith. You don't need greater faith. You don't need more faith. What do we need? Faith without doubt. It's the doubt that's the problem. It's the cares that's the problem. It's the concerns and the worries and everything else that's the problem. When we talk about healing, we'll talk about this a little bit, but what do you do when you get a weird ache or pain or there's something weird going on in your body? What's the first thing we do? We go to God and we say, Lord, what's this? No, that's usually not what we do. We get on our phone and we go to Google and we go, I got a pain in my thing and it's doing this and it feels like that. And then you research every possible thing it could possibly be, and 5 minutes later, you have a deadly disease, and for sure you're not going to make it till morning, right? We just filled our heart with a whole bunch of unbelief, and we got faith. Our hearts got filled with faith. Faith comes from hearing. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, where does unbelief come from? Unbelief comes from hearing. Hearing the word of the world. And it'll choke out the life of God. It'll choke it out. Jesus said, by your traditions, you've nullified the word of God. Whoa, man. Our traditions, our unbelief, our care, these things, they're powerful things. And they can choke out the most powerful thing in the universe because God made it that way. It's crazy, but it's our choice, right? So we don't need a lot of faith. It just takes a little bit of faith. I promise you have enough faith. You have enough faith to move mountains. You have enough faith to raise the dead. You have enough faith. I have enough faith. We have enough faith. What's the problem? It just has to be pure faith. Has to be simple faith. Has to be single-minded faith. Has to be faith that doesn't have doubt and waver and wandering and, well, maybe it is and might happen and if it's God's will. God said, no, my word will accomplish what I sent it to accomplish. It's powerful and mighty. To the tearing down of strongholds. He holds the universe together by the power of His Word. His Word holds the universe together. His Word created the universe. His Word created everything that we can see. And it's currently holding it together. But we diminish it and we let it go. We let other things choke it out. At least I'm the only guilty one. I'll confess. I will confess if you won't all confess. It doesn't take a lot. It's just a tiny bit. Just a tiny bit. You have enough. We've got to clear the weeds of the world away and hold on and believe God's word works. Amen?